Psalm 147, we're going to read the whole of the psalm. This is God's word. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. Who can withstand His icy blast? He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. It was several months ago when I read through this psalm, and I instantly went after I'd read it and got my diary and made a note to come back to Psalm 147. For the harvest service. So here we go. Here we are. Here we go. And so far in our corporate worship together this morning, we've mentioned a verse in the Bible. We've memorized it, giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We've had a story about Eric, and he was saying thanks. We've also sung a hymn with the chorus, "All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above." Then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all His love. So if you're not sure what harvest is about, there's been some clues. There's been some clues right through the service. Christians should be a thankful people. But part of that, we should also be a people who bring praise to God, recognizing that it's He that supplies us with everything that we have. So why did I make a note of Psalm 147? Well, I made a note of Psalm 147 because what struck me was God's activity in the world, specifically what we saw in verse 8, verse 9, and also in verse 15 onwards. But then as I came to think about the psalm more and more, what struck me was just how appropriate the psalm is for a day like today. So this is the first verse, and it's on the screen for those of you who don't have a Bible, but the preference is to follow in a Bible so you can check that what I'm saying is what God said. And in the Bible, this very first verse says, Psalm 147, 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him." Now, I love this verse because we are given the instruction to praise the Lord. What does it mean to praise the Lord? It means to celebrate Him, to glorify Him, to sing of how amazing He is, to express His greatness, to boast in Him. And please notice that the psalmist links praise to singing in verses 1 and 7, to using instruments in verse 7, and they are key ways in which we can express what's in our hearts. So we are commanded in the first verse to praise the Lord. But notice, after being instructed, commanded to praise the Lord, the psalmist then goes on in verse 1 to say this: how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Now, just break that down. Just two things. How pleasant. Now, just think about this. God has made us in such a way that when we praise Him, and we do that in a variety of ways, but the psalmist specifically is talking about singing, but it's in a variety of ways, that is a pleasant experience for us. It fills us with joy. So the thing that fills us with joy, is pleasant for us, is the thing that God has commanded us to do. Isn't that amazing? God commands the thing that makes us happy, that gives us great delight. And you must have done this. I don't know, maybe you've seen a sunset that's been amazing. That's the typical example we go to. Or maybe you've been on a walk and you stop and you just take in the view. And in those moments, what you're doing is beholding something that's bigger than you. You're small, and that thing is great, and it's big, and it's beyond you, and you delight in it, and it's a pleasant experience. Now, isn't that interesting? It's a pleasant experience to see something that's beyond you and bigger than you, to be captivated by something that's just bigger than we are. Now, that's incredible, and that's God. So it's pleasant for us to behold how great he is. But then also, it's also fitting to praise God. That's what the psalm tells us. We're commanded to praise him. That's a pleasant experience, but also it's a fitting thing to do. Why? Well, the rest of the psalm tells us. The rest of the psalm goes on to tell us about all God and what he's done and his greatness and why it's fitting to praise him. So isn't God good? He's created us in such a way that when we praise him, that is a pleasant thing. He commands us to do it. And he just reveals himself to us so that we can praise him more and more. Now, I wrote a list of things in Psalm 147, and it was a long list of all the things that God does that means we should praise him. And I didn't think we were quite ready for a 19-point sermon. So I broke it down into two main sections. And the first one is, God cares about. So I think what this psalm does is it reflects for us some of the things that God cares about, the things he cares for. And now remember, Psalm 147, in fact, Psalm 146 right through to Psalm 150 all begin with praise the Lord. And the Psalms, remember, were originally a hymn book, if you like, to assist us in our praise. So as we look at this, this should be stirring up praise in our hearts. So God cares about the first thing. Here we go. I was going to bring objects for all the things God cares about, but I was struggling when it says, God cares about the stars. I was thinking, I cannot bring a star with me to church. It's impossible. But what the psalm's teaching us is that God cares about the stars. I don't know if you've ever seen them at night, maybe on a clear night. It's worth, just ask your parents to let you do this on a weekend, on a night where there is no clouds in the sky, go to a place where there is no light pollution and just look up. And just reflect on the fact, I sometimes do this, I just stop and think, my God did that. My Father put them there. And then open Psalm 147 and read verse 1, praise the Lord, and see if you struggle praising the Lord when you stop and look at the stars. It's amazing. This stirs up praise in our hearts. Now, it's verse 4 that's talking about the stars, by the way. It says he determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Now, the person who doesn't believe in God, they look at the stars at night and they think it's just a big accident. But we should look at them and think, our God is amazing. We should praise him because of it. And do you know, the stars that you can see are just a drop in the bucket of how many there actually are in the vast universe that we live in. But the person who doesn't believe in God, they believe it's just random, pointless, meaningless, an accident that perfectly just keeps in order. They look there and they concede it appears like there's design, but they just say it's the appearance of design. But they're fooled. They're fooled into thinking that there is no God. And the Bible does say something quite opposite and something quite staggering. And I'm going to tell you now how many stars there are. Now, no scientist could tell you this number. And in fact, it's not really a number. But look, this psalm tells us how many stars there are in verse 4. It's the number that God says there are, because he determines the number of stars. There is an exact, precise number, and that's the number that God determined. Now, just thinking about that should cause praise to stir up in our hearts. And please notice in that verse, verse 4, he doesn't just know the number, he has called them all a name. That is amazing. How can he remember all the names? Because he's an eternal, infinite God. He cares about the stars, every single one. Now, next one. Now, being a dairy farmer's son, this wasn't a problem. So wait a minute. I've got a cow. So just wait a second. Okay, here it is. Here's the cow. Don't worry, I'm not actually going to bring a real one. So this psalm tells us that he cares about the cows. So please notice verse 9, if you've got a Bible, it says, he provides food for the cattle. Now, I've cheated slightly because the verse continues and says, and for the young ravens when they call. So I think the point of the psalmist is not that God just cares about cows. He cares about all animals. But cows are mentioned. And do you know, it's really hard work feeding cows. In the summer, it's pretty easy. You open the gate, you let them into a field, and away they go. But in the winter, when they're inside, it's really quite tricky. Through the summer, you have to cut the grass, move it into a building where you put it in a big pile, you put a sheet over it, excuse me, and it turns into something called silage. Silage, if you don't know, smells pretty bad, but the cows seem to like it. And then right through the winter, every morning and every evening, you take grass from that big pile that's now silage and you put it in front of the cows. Now, you might think that's easy. Well, from the farm I grew up on, there is approaching 200 head of cattle. You might think it's hard feeding like your family of five or three or two or whatever. 200 cows every day need silage taken from the pit and taken to them so they can eat. But what does the farmer actually do? All the farmer actually does is encourages the grass to grow by adding certain stimulants. He then cuts it and puts it in the right place. But this psalm tells us that it's God who makes the grass to grow. He's the one that actually provides for all the animals on the face of the earth. Now, what about this one? God cares about the weather, so I brought my brolly. Well, it might not actually be mine, but I brought a brolly to remind us that God cares about the weather. Now, is it just a thing about being British, or is it true of everyone around the world? We love talking about the weather. Normally negatively, so it's either too hot or too cold or too windy or too wet or too humid or it needs to be drier or it's not hot enough or we just need some rain for the garden and we go on and on and on. We care a lot about the weather, but it would seem that God cares about the weather more. The weather's not just random, not per the psalm, so please notice verse 16. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends word and melts them. He stirs up its breezes and the waters flow. It's all under God's control. God cares about the weather. Let me ask you a question this morning. What's on your daily to-do list? Maybe do the shopping. Maybe fill the car with petrol. Maybe go to school. Maybe do some homework. Maybe complete an assignment. Maybe go and see a certain client. Maybe clean out the goldfish bowl, whatever it is. Well, compare your to-do list with God's each day to-do list. He is simultaneously controlling the weather in Europe, Asia, the Americas, Africa, Australasia, Antarctica. So he's hurling snow on the tops of mountains. He's baking the sand in the desert. He's causing the gentle breeze through the jungle and probably sending drizzle on Ashton. But as well as doing that, he's feeding the animals, causing the grass to grow, the flowers to grow, the worms to do whatever worms do in the soil. He's providing for the elephant in Africa, the polar bear in the North Pole, the seagull at Whitby. He's also, on top of that, calling each star by name. How fitting and pleasant to praise him. And if that were it, that would be pretty amazing. But there's more in this psalm. Because not only do we get told about God caring for different things, we also hear about his special care. We are to praise God because of his special care. So notice verses 2 and 3. We are told, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Then verses 12 to 14, extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace for your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. Then notice verses 19 to 20. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. In this psalm, we are told not only about God's general care about the weather, the stars, the cows, all these different things, we are also told about his specific care for the people of Israel. rescuing them from exile, making them secure, making his law known to them. And we can very clearly see the principle behind that and what that means for us. God is a God who is to be praised because he rescues. He makes secure and he shows us how to live. If the people of Israel had reason to praise God because he brought them back to Israel from exile, because he'd settled them back in Jerusalem, because he'd given them his laws again, how much more do we? We know. Now, some of us might not trust it or believe it or delight in it, but we know that Christ died on the cross so we can be reconciled to him. We can return from our exile to sin. He has secured an eternal home with us. He reveals to us by his Spirit, through the Word, the best way to live. If you know the gospel, if you love the gospel, then rejoice. Because this psalm is telling us there are people who don't know God's law. There are people who are not yet secure. There are people who don't yet know the special care of Jesus, but we do. So praise him. Thank him. Thank him for taking your sin, not some of it, but all of it. Thank him for being willing to pay your sin debt. Thank him, praise him for being willing to die, to be crucified, to be humiliated, to face shame, pain, and separation so you can have life. It is fitting, and it is praise. It's pleasant to praise him. Should our response be anything else? We're coming to a close now. Well, please notice we have some other references in this psalm as to how we should now act towards this God. So it's verse 6 and verse 11. In verse 6 it says, "The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground." And then in verse 11 it says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." As we think about God's special care, we should praise him and we should give him thanks, but only a humble people will do that. See, I think we get this the opposite way around. If you were going to, who gets to go and see the Queen? Well, it's people who have done something amazing. How do you get to go and see someone in the business world that's rich and successful? Well, probably, again, you need to be an aspiring talent. How do you get near a sports celebrity? Again, you probably have to have proved your skill. Yet the psalm tells us that God helps, comes near to, and blesses the humble. That is, the ones who are not assured of their own worthwhileness, actually quite the opposite. People who are confident in the fact they have nothing to offer but look to God for help. The ones who are relying on God for help because they know they are broken and can go nowhere else for help. Ones who are looking to him for his goodness and kindness and greatness, not their own. And in some ways, this morning, our approach to harvest is a tiny, tiny revealer of our hearts. If we come with genuine gratitude and thanks, that reveals something about our hearts. If there's an of course-ness about us, of course I should have these things, then that again reveals something about our hearts. Paul, when writing to the church in Rome, said that it's true of people with no relationship of God that they do not give him thanks. Thankfulness is a true marker. I don't just mean just a token thank you. Daily gratitude is a recognition of who God is. It shows if we have a genuine relationship with him or not. And so this morning, let's humble ourselves. Humble ourselves and give him praise. Why? Because it's pleasant and it's fitting to do so. Let's pray together before we sing our final hymn. Father, we thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for the instruction we get to praise you and to give you thanks. Lord, for some of us, our hearts are so cold and stony, there is just no joy or no praise bubbling up in them for you. Father, we pray that you would change our hearts. Give us such a warmth towards you. Give us a delight in who you are. May we not be able to do anything but praise you because we have recognized your greatness and worth. Lord, it's going to take a supernatural miracle of grace in our hearts to make that happen. So please come. We are helpless. We are poor. We are worthless and needy. Please come to our rescue. Please help us to humble ourselves. And then we praise you out of a heart that's filled with love and gratitude. May that be our experience, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.